Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 6 of E4 2018. I'm Tommy. Of course, Jamie's sitting right there. How's it going?
He's multitasking. I'm drinking. Yes, I'm drinking during the show.
It's a good time, you know.
I have a large mason jar with cider in it.
Yeah. That's not a bad way for the evening to go.
And there's bourbon in the house.
Yes. That'll be the post-show plan.
Woohoo!
So I'm multitasking because I was going to download the endgame on the Switch. I can't find the endgame on the Switch. It's supposed to be on the Switch. Maybe it hasn't been released yet.
Probably hasn't.
Bummer.
But what's that one that we were going to download and try?
Yeah, the Octopath Traveler demo is out. It's a three-hour demo. You get to pick whichever one of the eight characters you want to play as, and then your save transfers when the full game comes out. So if you like the game, you get to keep going once the full game comes out, which is cool. That's how demos should work.
I feel like we're going to own that.
I do, too. It looks really cool. And so, we did a video about it. This is a good time to talk about the Patreon right here at the top of the show.
Yes!
We have done a lot of videos. So there is a ton of video content over at the Patreon page. And so if you are jonesing for a little bit more Gaming Uncensored after this week and everything we've done, you can get it. Over at Patreon. So go to GamingUncensored.com and click on the Patreon link there at the top of the page. We did quick impressions of all the press conferences on video. We did several game trailers and gameplay things, including Octopath Traveler. We did all the Sony ones. I don't know that we intended to do all the Sony ones, but we ended up doing all the Sony ones. Did a couple more other ones. We did Beyond Good and Evil 2 and Cyberpunk 2077. Right. And so lots of good video content with the trailers and us kind of talking about them, over them, all that good stuff. We also built Nintendo Labo. We did a couple of the Nintendo Labo things. And we played Moss and recorded it on video.
That was fun.
That game is pretty fantastic. So
thank you, Duff.
Thank you, Duff, for that and for the Labo, which both were really enjoyable. And we had a good time with both.
By the way, thank you to Patreon, because you bought all the food this week.
Right.
And you bought the booze.
Yes. And we've had a good time with all of it.
You bought some really expensive booze.
Yes. Which is nice. We appreciate it. And we just had tacos that were fantastic.
Man, they were unbelievable.
And our whole taco meal for four of us cost about the same as the one bottle of bourbon did. So, good times.
So, we just had to mention this, and I was talking about it before the show. We like to eat a lot. Like, we don't eat when we're not around each other, but something happens when we're around each other. And then we eat like we're 20.
Yeah.
And we're not 20 anymore.
We are definitely not.
So I've been eating Tums like they're going out of style. Because, much like your daughter, that's required.
Yes. My daughter's on acid reflux medication, as is Jamie. One of many things that they have in common.
Yes.
As we have discovered this week.
I am very much like her.
Jamie and an infant. Very similar humans.
Fortunately, she's going to grow out of it, which I'm happy about.
Yes.
So,
me too.
That's a good thing.
Really quickly, let me here at the top of the show too make a note of the other thing we've been asking y'all to do this week, which is please, by all means, GamingUncensored.com, click on Patreon, give us some money. We will take it. We'll be appreciative. We'll put it back into games and give you content for that.
Or trips
and give you more content.
I'm
with
coming
us
back
in the same room together. But we'd also love it if you would go and review our show on whatever platform you get it on, or on other platforms. We don't care which platform you get it on. Go review it on everything. So Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio or TuneIn Radio or whatever else. Spotify soon. Hopefully we're waiting to get approval done there. Or be on whatever.
Right.
So wherever you're listening to us or whatever websites you are capable of typing in and giving us a review, we would greatly appreciate it.
We'll take it.
Awesome. And if you feel like sharing the show, the episode, the website, whatever on your social media outlets, that would be fantastic as well.
Do that.
That'd be great.
Just do whatever you want. Just don't say we suck.
We would appreciate that. Or if you say we suck, say at least we're still entertaining. Like, they're stupid, but they're fun to listen to, and so you should listen
to them. Which we've had reviews like that.
It's fair.
Somebody's actually said that and then given us 5 stars, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. Give us 5 stars and say whatever you want, really. Just give us the 5 stars and we'll be happy.
So we have learned that, well, we didn't learn. We already knew this, but this week reaffirmed the fact that we really like doing this in the same room, and this show is a lot better when we're in the same room. So, one more request. If there's anybody out there who is a manager for a hotel, or if you know someone who is a manager for a hotel, and you can get us a deal on rooms, that would be good. So I wouldn't have to pay an arm and a leg every time I come out here.
That would be good.
I would come out here like next Tuesday if a room was available.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go home for a couple of days, but I could be right back by about Tuesday if a room was available. So, if you work at a hotel or you know someone that works at a hotel and you could get us rooms, that would be good. We'll even give them advertising.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. No doubt about it. We would be more than happy to do that. So, all that being said, we will get into our content for this show, which is kind of just the wrap-up show. This is Thursday night, so E3 is officially over. We know E3 2019 is happening June 11th through 13th, so go ahead and mark your calendars. It's coming back. Not that there was any question that it would, but it's official. So we've got a few news items to talk about, some stuff that's come up during the week that we haven't spent time on, and then we have a lot of games to talk about. I put out a call on Facebook of some of the stuff that y'all wanted to hear about, and so we'll talk about some of those things. And
absolutely.
And whatever else we get to, of which there's no telling, probably lots of randomness. So I want to start with something we've alluded to a couple of times, and that is the possibility of the next-gen console cycle starting in 2020. This rumor started with Xbox speculation, news, leaks, that the Project Scarlet, which is apparently the code name for the next Xbox console, is planning to arrive in 2020, meaning that next E3, 2019 E3, will probably be when we at least get the first glimpses of new hardware, and then E3 2020, big new hardware, and then into 2020 we have new hardware. Maybe early 2020 we have new hardware. Who knows? So the current gen is about 5 years old at this point.
Right.
And so that feels like it's about time to start talking about next-gen hardware. So do you think we're on the track for next year in hardware in a couple of years, and what is it going to look like?
I know we are, but you said something that I've been thinking about the last couple of days that I'm not sure about. And I know I should be sure about it, but I'm not, because of the whole internet thing. You said you don't think the next console cycle will have disk drives, right? Which makes total sense, because you can't buy a computer with a disk drive now.
Yep.
I work in a shop. They do not exist. You can order them special, but if you go to Dell and try to buy a computer, you have to look for the ones with disk drives, because they're taking them out. So, I believe that you are correct, sir. But with that being the case and everything being downloadable, I think that's going to complicate some things for some people like me that live out in the middle of nowhere.
I am going to make one point on that. I don't think you're wrong. But what have you been doing on your home computer all this week while you're gone?
Downloading crap because I'm gone.
But that's the thing, is you're making it work, right? When was the last time you bought a physical game on a PC?
Long time.
PC is download only.
Yes.
Like, nobody buys a physical disc for a PC game at this point. The PC's already there. You're already playing games like that on a platform that's
out
there.
You are correct.
It just, I mean, the cost of putting a disc drive in a system that most consumers probably won't use, I think is going to be something that they look at and say, that seems like a waste of money for us.
Yes, you
are. And so I would put money on it.
Can we put this somewhere? Thank you.
I would put money on it that there won't be a disk drive for the exact reason you said. Computers don't have a disk drive anymore. If you want a disk drive, right, you have to buy an external disk drive, and people look at you funny because it's archaic, you know, which is weird.
Which is crazy. You may disagree with me on this, but I have one in my computer that I still use every week.
Yeah.
And I tell people that, and they're like, what?
But you got a good reason.
Yes.
There's a rationale for that. I have one in my desktop that I use a couple of times a year because I do rip CDs for classes and that kind of stuff. And so every so often I need that disk drive. But it's incredibly rare. Yes. I don't use it often. You have it for a purpose every week. And so there are places where it still makes sense, but it's going away.
Right.
So, yeah. But I'm curious to see if Nintendo goes that route too or sticks with the cartridge-based thing. The cartridge-based thing on the Switch is just kind of blows my mind that we're in 2017 had a console that is cartridge-based.
I don't feel like they're that expensive to make.
They're more expensive than discs, right? The solid state media?
I think
costs like nothing to make. But who knows? And I'm really curious. I'd love to see download numbers. I might look to see if I can find it. Download numbers of a game like, I don't know, Mario Odyssey versus the physical sales of something like Mario Odyssey. I don't know what they are, and it may be skewed one way or the other, but it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to be a thing, which, you made the point admirably that I've been downloading stuff all week, specifically because I'm not at my house and don't need my bandwidth. But you're right. Everything I'm doing right now is download. So
yeah,
that's where we're going.
That's where we're going. So knowing that, sorry, I swallowed a hair or something.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Something in the back of my throat. That's gross and terrible.
Yeah.
And we don't edit, so I'll get this fun Murloc noises from me for a second.
I just had alcohol before the show, and I just finished it, and that was a huge mistake. And I just told Jane that I was going to have to talk for like an hour, and the dinner that we had was probably a huge mistake. But you know what? I don't regret it.
No.
I'm just going to be, you know, awful for about a half hour here.
Yep. That's fair. So, the other question is, if we're expecting Microsoft, console in 2020, do we expect Sony console along the same times? I can't imagine not.
They got to come out side by side.
Yeah, really close to each other. And then, and you imagine they look pretty similar, right? I don't see Sony or Microsoft, either one, taking any big risks other than just beefing up hardware. Well, I think controllers are pretty much the same. They're not going to do something like the Switch that's radically different. Well, I might be surprised, but I don't think so.
The only thing that's going to be markedly different is that Microsoft released the Xbox One X, right? And they tout that as the most powerful system on the planet Earth, right? I think when Sony releases their new console, they're going to make certain that they are by far the most powerful system on the planet. And it may be as much as twice as powerful. Just because Microsoft has had the beast for 6-8 months already. And I think the next time that Sony comes out, they're going to be like, yeah, now we've got it. But you're right, it's just hardware.
Yeah, and I think they'll be similar enough. Like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are similar enough. Now the Xbox One X is a step above what the PlayStation Pro is.
Right.
But still, they're pretty similar devices. And again, I struggle to really see the difference. Now, if you have a 4K TV, maybe that makes the world a difference. But unless you have a 4K TV, I have a hard time. I've watched all the little side-by-sides of the Xbox One versus the Xbox One X version of a game, and I'm like, oh, that one looks better, and it's the Xbox One version, not the One X version. I'm like, oh, I meant the other one. Look, you know, like, if it's a blind test, half the time I can't tell you. Again, if you have a 4K TV, it probably makes sense. But
and Chad is yelling at whatever he's listening to us on.
Well, I think he would agree. I think he would say that you need that 4K TV to make it worth it. If you don't have the 4K TV, you probably shouldn't spend the big bucks on a powerful console.
Right. Like,
that's the catalyst of the whole thing of making it work. So. So all that being said, I think we anticipate that happening. And so then a lot of games that we've seen this week, we've been speculating our next gen. I would put Beyond Good and Evil 2 in that conversation. I would put Death Stranding in that conversation. I would put Ghost of Tsushima in that conversation. I will note that this came out just this evening. I saw on Twitter that CD Projekt Red is saying that Cyberpunk 2077 is targeted for the current gen consoles.
Oh!
I don't believe it. Maybe they are targeting it for the current gen. I don't think it will be. I think that'll be a next gen game.
Well, think about it this way. For consoles, you can say that, but really, let's be honest, that's a PC game. I mean, really? That's a PC game.
I would say that, but I played The Witcher 3 on PlayStation.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, fantastic that it will be a PC game. That's one thing I love about CD Projekt Red is I have very little doubt that it will be a PC game. They're running it on a PC right now. And so, yes. But it's going to come out on consoles as well. It's a question of what console and when.
I don't
even
know why,
if you play it on PC.
I don't know why, but I feel like that's a Mass Effect type deal where you can play it on other stuff, but it's really best suited for the PC.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that way because The Witcher has been on every console that there has been from day one.
Yeah. Well, The Witcher 1 and 2 were only on PC, weren't they?
I think they were eventually made available.
I think so too,
maybe. For the console.
But I feel like they started on PC. I feel like The Witcher 3 was a big, because the thing with The Witcher 2 is I tried to play it and it wouldn't work on my old rig.
Right.
Even though like my old rig was plenty powerful enough to run it.
Yeah.
Like it just was terrible. It was super glitchy or whatever. We talked about that a bunch on the show. And
right.
That's why I played The Witcher 3 on console. Because I had such a terrible time. I never played The Witcher 2. I tried. I played The Witcher 1 and it bugged out on me. I never finished that game.
Right.
I got so pissed at both of those games. The first one because it deleted all of my data. The second one because it wouldn't even run. That I said, there's no chance I'm touching this game on the PC.
Right.
And it came out on PlayStation 4. I played it on PlayStation 4. It was fabulous. And I'm sure it runs just fine on PC now. I have a lot more faith in CD Projekt Red now.
I downloaded it today, so we're going to find out.
I'm sure it's fine. All that being said is they've had a little bit of a sketchy past on PC.
Right.
I think they're going to be fine going in the future. I think CD Projekt Red on PC makes a ton of sense.
I think they're going to make a ton of money on 2077. I really do.
I do too. That's going to be a massive game. That's going to be a really, really big deal. So all that being said, when does Nintendo do something new?
You know, I said the Switch was going to last 2 years. Maybe 2.5 tops. I said that on this show.
Yep.
Because we're not, much like our friends Tony and Mike on PTI, I remember what I say, I remember what you say, and I said 2.5 years, and I think I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get 3 or 3.5 out of the Switch, because they've got some really great software on that system.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I have no clue what they're doing next. You know?
I don't think they know, and I don't think they have to know. Look, they got, and we've talked about this over and over. I can't believe that we're shocked. But they got arguably the most interesting console on the planet right now. I'm not going to say the best because it's not. But they have the most interesting console on the planet with the most unique library. And they have Pokemon.
As much as we don't get it, it's a big deal.
I mean, that Pokemon Go is huge. I mean, we're 2 years into Pokemon Go, and it's big. And I mean, it's not waning. It's getting bigger. Like, I was at work the other day, and the secretary looks at me, and she goes, I can't get Pokemon Go to work on my son's phone. He wants to play it. I can't get it to work. That's how big it is. There's people still downloading it. So they have the most unique console on the planet with maybe one of the best libraries. And they have Pokemon. They don't need anything else for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And they're still putting out good software that even if it's not our thing, Super Smash Brothers is going to be a big deal. And yeah, they're going to be fine for a couple years still.
But I will tell you this. Whatever the next Nintendo console is, it will be portable. You can bank on that.
I think you're right there. Yeah, I think that's proven to be a successful thing. I think it's a good question of whether or not Sony or Microsoft try to work in some portability factor to their next console.
They better not, because if they do, it will fail.
I doubt that. What I would guess that they would try to do is do a streaming portable thing that you can access. I mean, Sony's kind of played with this already, because you can play PlayStation games from your console on your PC right now, and so you can take it on a laptop or whatever. But I think they'll try to do that more towards the phone or tablet kind of world. I don't think it'll be what the Switch is for sure, but I think they'll push that. I think we'll see a lot of you can stream your games from your home device and have it anywhere you go.
I think Sony already tried that. I think it's called the Vita, and it really didn't work.
Well, that's a completely different thing. That's a handheld console. That's not the power of the home console on the go, you know?
Right.
Like the Switch is. The Switch is the power of a home console on the go. It's just this little thing like I'm holding in my hand right now. It's amazing. It's fantastic that little tablet thing. I don't think Sony or Microsoft will go with the tablet design like the Switch is, but I bet you they push that mobile thing because it's been such a big deal on the Switch.
I bet they try. I don't know that it'll be successful.
Yeah, that may be fair, but it's going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, that being said, we're going to get into some game talk and a little bit of news. This is interesting. So, like I said, there's several games that, y'all wanted us to talk about. So we'll hit as many of those as we can. One of those is The Last of Us 2. A little bit of news about the gameplay of The Last of Us 2. It looks like, at least this is the rumor right now, is that it will explore two different timelines. Which is kind of cool, because that's what we see in the trailers. We have the timeline of them in the barn church whatever thing.
Right.
And then we have the timeline of Ellie tearing up
destroying people.
Yeah. And we don't know how those connect to each other, relate to each other, whatever, if it's a flashback or if it's looking into the future or whatever. But it's two different times. How close they are, whatever's going on, we don't know. And whether or not Joel is maybe in there, another bit of news that they've said is that Ellie will be the only player character. We'll see if that actually pans out.
That's not good.
Why is that not good?
Well, I mean, that he, you know, something horrific happened to him.
If he's not a player.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. But I think it's more that they just want to focus on Ellie in this game. Like, I think that's wise. I think it's...
I think if something happened to him, I think that's the reason why she's stabbing people in the throat.
Well, she's a stabber no matter what. Like, she's intense.
I mean, like, she's stabbing people like they just killed her puppy. I mean, that's kind of a... And that's the thing that I can think of that would put her in that mindset, if that he's a little, something happened. I mean,
sure.
What if Joel somehow became a Quaker? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's a little,
It's very, the Walking Dead first season of the end of that title, where right. You have to choose what to do to, what's his name?
Lee.
I wanted to say Leo, and I'm like, it's not Leo. what you want to do to Lee at the end of that game when he turns, and sorry, spoiler right. alert, if you haven't played season one of The Walking Dead yet, do it. It's fantastic. Lee turns into a walker at the end. It very well could be something along that line. I don't know. I'm fascinated by that game. I'm so pumped about it. It's, yeah, as excited as I am about any game coming out of E3. Let me check what other... anything else on Last of Us 2 we need to mention at this point?
It's just really, really, really good.
It's really, really violent. Fallout 76. Let's talk about Fallout 76 for a little bit, because That's maybe my biggest question mark coming out of E3.
Right.
Because we know more details about it than most of these other games. We've seen a little bit more of it. It's coming sooner than most of these other games.
Right.
And yet I'm still like, I'm going to play it because I love the franchise. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. I'm really worried about
it. We're going to play it because we love Fallout and we love multiplayer, but I'm afraid of it. Like... I think this is that thing in the middle before Fallout 5.
Yeah, definitely they're working on Fallout 5. Now, so we know a little bit of the timeline of Bethesda games coming. And specifically, let's focus on the RPG side of things, because there's also Rage and Prey right. and those things, and we'll skip over those for right now. But on the RPG side of things, we know we got Fallout 76 coming later this year. And then we know we have Starfield and the Elder Scrolls 6 that are being worked on that we didn't see anything of other than title screens or whatever.
Right.
But Bethesda has said Starfield is coming next and then the Elder Scrolls 6. So the Elder Scrolls 6 is still a few years
away.
It's
way out there.
Yeah, if we didn't see anything from Starfield, we're definitely not seeing the Elder Scrolls 6 for a while. But if that's the case, I would have to think Fallout 5 is after that. Even I don't know how many studios they have working on these things under Bethesda, but
we know the Elder Scrolls is way out. We know Starfield is way out. They didn't say anything about Fallout 5.
Yeah.
And so that may be one of those things that pops up kind of like Fallout 4 did. And they're like, yeah, it'll be available in October whenever they talk about it.
And that's... assuming that there is a Fallout 5. I mean, yeah. If Fallout 76 is like something that people really get into, that may be the direction of Fallout going forward, you know? Like,
which
it may
take
a shift.
That terrifies me, right? Because I'm not sure right now today if VATS is not a thing. I don't know if I can effectively play Fallout 76.
That's fair. They did say, somebody said something. I don't remember if this came directly from Bethesda or something tangential, but somebody said that it will have, quote, real-time VATS. And I feel like that's an oxymoron. Like,
it is.
Isn't VATS the process of pausing and choosing, like, what you're going to do, like this turn-based mechanism? Is it a real-time VATS, like, just combat?
Right.
Like, even if it's like you can, maybe not, maybe it works in that you can like target on the fly. You just don't get a chance to pause. And so maybe you have hotkeys. This is where it'd be a lot easier on PC, that you have hotkeys that are tied to limbs. And so you have like leg, arm, torso, head, you know, and
right.
you can choose those on the fly instead of having to aim. You can kind of automate a shot or something like that. But the game never stops or slows down in that. Could work. I don't know.
I have this fear that I'm going to get torn up in Fallout 76.
Yeah.
I just think I'm going to get destroyed, which makes me sad. Because if that's the way Fallout goes, that's one of my favorite titles out there because I can play it. And I can play it well.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, I'm trying to see if there's anything else we've learned since we did the Bethesda show. Mostly, I think it's basically the same stuff. It's always online. So you'll run into other people. There's not going to be hundreds or thousands of other people playing in your game at any given time, which is nice. So you can run into other people, but it's not just going to be saturated. Your base building theoretically goes with you. And this is where I don't quite understand because they're doing this. It's not a server-based thing. That's right. Just a game, and you can run into other people. But if you're building a base on the exact same physical location that somebody else is building a base, that seems like a problem if, like, y'all are merged into the same game together.
Right.
And so there's a lot of questions I still have about, like, these little technical things. I would imagine base building is going to be a massive part of this game because it was a big and popular part of Fallout 4. I think they're going to bring that in here.
They had mods to, you know, make changes to it. So it was a huge deal.
Yeah. And you'll be able to build bases wherever you want. You don't have to, like, unmodded Fallout 4, you can only build in certain places where there's already kind of settlements happening. Modded, you can build anywhere. And Fallout 76, unmodded, you'll be able to build anywhere. By the way, let's talk about that for a second, because that'll be a thing in Fallout 76, I'm sure, because Bethesda games get modded always. Let me put it this way. Bethesda's really good about leaving their games open to be modded. They know that's a really important part of their community
right.
to do that. It could be incredibly fun to see some of these community mods played out in a multiplayer environment in Fallout 76.
It could be. It could also be a huge, massive wreck.
Yes.
Like, that's my thing, is that this is something that Bethesda has never really done before. I mean, this is not an MMO, but it's close to an MMO, and they've never really done that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to play. One thing I'm excited about is we have all these questions, these things that we don't know, but we know that at least at the beginning, there's not going to be a monthly fee for Fallout 76. So we're gonna play it. We're gonna buy it. We're gonna get it together. We're gonna be involved. I just don't know how long we're gonna stick.
Yeah, I think that's a big question. And a lot of it depends on how good the story is, because it is going to have a story. Is it a Fallout level story that's compelling and that we want to play, or is it gonna feel like it's story that's tacked onto an online game? I don't know which one of those is going to be the answer. I obviously hope for the former. I want it to be a story-rich title.
Well, and that's the thing, is that we don't really know what we're going to get. Like, it's not World of Warcraft, and it's not your normal Fallout. It's something in the middle.
Yeah.
And that changes the game.
Yeah. For sure. Let me mention a couple other things really quickly. The quote about VATS, and this is from Todd Howard. It doesn't slow time, but it lets you target and pick parts and all of that, but it's in real time. It still works great. It's different, obviously. If it doesn't slow time, it's obviously different. But he says it works great. We'll see. Also, I wanted to mention this because we didn't talk about this, I don't think, in any of our other Fallout 76 discussion. There is a system of how, like, the PvP element of this will work, in that, like, you can't just go, like, troll people and just kill them. That the PvP element will apparently work on kind of a challenge system, and so you can challenge other players, and if you want to duel, and I think about this kind of in the terms of World of Warcraft, if you aren't in, like, a combat zone, in a PvP zone, like, you can still fight each other, but you both have to kind of agree to it, or you can duel your buddies or whatever.
Right.
That, like, you walk up to another player and you're like, hey, you want to fight? And the person can say no and walk away, and you can't, like, kill them. Which is good. I like that. Or even if you do engage in combat with somebody, that there's a way to essentially get out of it. If
right.
it's like, this dude's just going to own me, he's way higher level than I am or whatever, you can get out of it. And so it's not just a kind of free-for-all. It's not a really intense survival game where people can just come kill you for no reason. And that when you die, there's not permadeath, which is in some of these kind of online survival games. Your character dies and that character's dead. You start a different character. That's not how this is going to work. Your character persists, respawns, you'll lose some caps
or armor or whatever. Yeah.
You'll have some penalty for death, but it's not a what they describe it as is a soft core survival game. It's not a hardcore survival game where when you die, you're dead and then you start over. So all that makes me hopeful that this can work. That it's kind of that blend somewhere between Fallout and a survival game is going to bring in the elements that are good of both of those.
But I think it's not a question for me of whether it'll work or not. I think it's going to work. My question is, how good is it going to be? Because you have said on multiple occasions, Fallout 4 is great. Fallout 3 was great. Fallout New Vegas was great. I don't know if this is going to be great.
Yes, I agree with that. It may be, but I don't know. And I didn't have that doubt going into Fallout 4. I was pretty sure Fallout 4 was going to be pretty fantastic when I picked it up. This one, I have lots of question marks. I'm not picking it up day one.
Right.
I'm going to hang out and see. And because it's an online game, it's going to be buggy day one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait. Fallout games are kind of notoriously buggy when they launch anyway. And so probably better off not buying any Bethesda game day one.
Right.
But Fallout for sure. Wait a couple of weeks at least and see what the kind of reception is and get some kinks worked out.
Right.
And then get into it if it's time to get into it. So Cyberpunk 2077 is another one we've talked about some. This for me may be my most anticipated game after E3. I just love it. I love the vibe of it. All we saw was that trailer. People saw gameplay there. Makes me very jealous. I wish I would be there to see gameplay, but we haven't. We've heard about it from the people who have seen it, and it sounds cool.
We're going to E3 before we die.
That is true.
And this is the one of the main reasons why. But unlike Fallout 76, I feel really good that Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be really good no matter what happens with the combat or any of the other stuff. I know the story is going to be good. I know the character building is going to be good. I know all of that really important stuff is going to be good. And so I'm less worried about Cyberpunk than I am Fallout.
I think I agree with that. I really do. That Cyberpunk thing, even though like we saw a lot of Cyberpunk at E3 this year, like it's going to be trendy for a little bit. It's kind of a still not overly saturated game
it
area.
It will be by next year.
Right. And by the time Cyberpunk 2077 gets here, it may feel a little worn at that point. But I think that Cyberpunk 2077 is going to carry a lot of anticipation just because it's CD Projekt Red.
I don't think anybody else, you'll be able to play their game and take somebody's eye out of their head. I mean, for crying out loud, man.
Man, that's pretty great. Yeah, it's going to be a screwed up game. Like, let's be really clear on that. Like, The Witcher is a very screwed up game. The best quest line I had in that whole thing that I just loved was so twisted about a demon baby, and you're like chasing a demon baby around. It was screwed up, but it was compelling. I was super into it. Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be a lot of screwed up stuff like that. It's this kind of future world where corporations run everything. And I will say that morals are probably a lot lesser than what they are now.
Well,
the idea being. And so it's going to be brutal.
And I think the deal with those guys is, and you pointed it out, that they do a lack of morals and naked women.
Yeah,
and
lots
drugs
of nudity. And everything
else better than anybody else.
Yes.
Like, I can fire up Dragon Age in my house. I can fire up lots of different RPGs. I gotta be careful when I'm playing The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're gonna find or where you're gonna find it.
Yes. That is absolutely true. It's one that's going to be every bit of a mature rated title. They're going to push the mature rating as far as they can. It's like those movies that like come back, like the MPAA is like, we can't rate this. Like, y'all right. gotta change this before you could get an R rating. That's what this is gonna be like, I feel. It's going to be on the edge of every part of it. Violence, sex, drugs, everything.
And you know what? I'm ecstatic about that.
Me too. Because like, it will be compelling. And that's that I want to make really clear here is that like just violence or sex or drugs for the sake of violence or sex and drugs isn't all that compelling. And especially,
right.
you know, we got a million video games. If you want like violence for the sake of violence, go play Postal. You know, like right. going back a ways. But that was a game that was just violence for the sake of violence and was just irreverent. But it never compelled me. But The Witcher 3, that was incredibly violent, had all kinds of sex, and maybe not the drugs quite as much, but was compelling. It was riveting story and well-told and fun gameplay, and that's what you're going to get out of Cyberpunk 2077 with those mature themes. I think of a show like Breaking Bad that is yeah. so twisted and screwed up. But so compelling. Like, I want to watch it because I'm so into it. This is going to be like that, and that the grit and the maturity and the edge of it is what's going to enhance that narrative as opposed to just being there for the sake of being edgy.
Well, and it's going to, I hope it's one of those once in a lifetime deals because I'm glad you brought up Breaking Bad. Okay. It's been like 10 years. I saw it because I was watching AMC, and they just came up on the 10-year anniversary of Breaking Bad. It's been 10 years. There's nothing on TV right now like Breaking Bad. Nothing. Not anything anywhere. We can talk about Westworld. We can talk about all that stuff.
Have you watched Westworld?
I have not. I know it's really good, but yeah. it ain't Breaking Bad.
You need to watch Westworld. It's not Breaking Bad yet because there's only 1.5 seasons of it. I don't know. I haven't seen any of the second season. The first season's really good. That's a yeah. good show. It's not Breaking Bad, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones or whatever. It's taste, obviously. I think a lot of people opt for Game of Thrones over Breaking Bad. But it's very much the same thing. That right. it's the violence and the sex and everything in there, maybe sometimes for the sake of violence or sex. But still, that it's part of that world, is part of that narrative, and it makes it more compelling as opposed to just being shock value, for the most part. I might have a bigger argument on Game of Thrones with that than I would with Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones is a lot of shock value.
Yes.
But the point I was trying to make is, Breaking Bad came out and did what it did. Cyberpunk's going to come out and do what it does. And it's going to be a while until we see another title that is able to do it as well as that does it.
Sure.
I feel. Now, we got to keep in mind, we're saying all of this about a game that we know virtually nothing about, which I think is nutty.
Yeah. But we've seen a trailer. Well, we've seen two trailers now. We saw that very first teaser 5 years ago or whatever. And we've seen an official trailer now, and we've heard about some gameplay.
Right.
That's all we know.
That's it.
Well, can I mention one bit of thing I don't think we've talked about
sure,
yet?
Sure, absolutely.
So it has a stat system because it's an RPG. One of the stats in Cyberpunk 2077 is cool. You have a cool stat. My cool stat is going to be very low.
Well, now see, I wonder about that because just to talk about things in entertainment that change everything, I'm wondering if we're going to be able to be Negan cool in Cyberpunk 2077
yeah.
and still have decent other RPG stats, or you've got to go one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, we've got a lot of people talking about that it's a first-person shooter, and it does this, and it does that, and it's also an RPG. I'm wondering if you have a choice there, whether it's you can be cool or you can be buff.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if Negan is cool, but there's not a lot of environments Negan's going to walk into. Like, Negan walks into any other environment, and they're going to go, oh, cool, you got a bat. I have a remote control turret. See ya.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
fair.
It's, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's fair. It'll be interesting. Another thing they talked about is that it will kind of have classes, but it's not going to have, like, you don't pick your class at the beginning of your character creation process. Your class kind of comes about by what skills you level up and what cybernetics you have.
Which I love that.
Yeah,
that's
it's more
cool.
of a job kind of class system where it can change, it sounds like. So you have cybernetics that you can switch out, and so maybe you're the more stealthy character if you have this certain set of implants, and then you could be the bigger kind of brawler type character or the tank character.
Right.
You have a different set of implants or a different weapon or whatever, and that will be maybe somewhat fluid in the game. And so sticking to, in a lot of ways, the tabletop RPG that this is based off of, Cyberpunk 2020, that did have a class system, that's going to be reflected but not directly in a tabletop kind of way that you pick it in your character creation stage.
Right.
And I like that. I think that's good, especially for something like this. I think that fluidity is nice. It's just going to give you options for how you want to play the game. Do you want to be a running gunner and just go in and blow stuff up, or do you want to be a little bit more tactical and sneaky and that stuff?
Now, we've been talking about this for a long time, but I want to bring up one other point. You played The Witcher 3, and you got through the main quest line, but I'm pretty sure that you left a lot of stuff
I did
out there.
Way more side quest stuff in The Witcher 3. This is an unfair thing at this point in time, because I do way more side quests at this point than I used to, because side quests are better. And
right.
This is the thing I will say about modern game design, and The Witcher 3 did this super well, is that if you make compelling side quests, I'm going to do them. It's
right.
The run and fetch this side quest that used to be like just grinding in video games that I hated. But games are away from that now. And so if you do compelling story that is not direct. So the demon baby quest that I talk about in The Witcher 3 was a side quest. That was a part of the main storyline. I spent hours on that. You know, like, give me compelling side quest content, I'm going to do it.
But the point I was trying, that I was about to make, is that you did a lot of side quests, but I'm sure there's stuff out in that world that didn't get done and you could go back today.
Sure.
And you could do it. I think the thing with Cyberpunk is that it's going to be absolutely huge.
Yes.
As big as The Witcher was, I think it's going to be twice that or 3 times. It's going to be huge.
I don't know. That's actually a really compelling question that I hadn't thought about yet, because it's in a city. I don't know that it's going to be as sprawling. I think it's going to be dense, you know?
With lots of stuff in a very, very small, or not a very small area. But
maybe not a huge area, not like a Breath of the Wild kind of huge, sprawling, but barren landscape. It's going to be a much tighter map that's built up. Lots of skyscrapers that you're going to get to go into or whatever, or lots of different levels of this city instead of outward. Sorry, I'm kind of hijacking what you were saying, but you just got this gear rolling in my head.
That's where I was trying to get to, and you thought I was going with the side quest thing, but it just...
But the idea that we don't have games really that are built to give bigness to the area top down, they're always built outward. Being in a futuristic city... That's probably going to be kind of limiting. I don't know that you're going to get out of Night City where this all takes place, or if you're going to do the whole thing in the city, but I could see the levels of the city being a big deal, like the up and down component.
Like, think about it like the Star Wars cartoon back in the day. For the life of me, I can't remember the name of it right now because I had cider. But you go that if you wanted to go to the really seedy parts of the city, they were down below, and not the Old Republic did some of this.
Yep,
where
exactly
if you needed to go somewhere, you went to the lower levels of the city to the bar where you were gonna find such and such person, and then if you wanted to go find a Jedi, you had to go up several levels to get to the Jedi Temple or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think that would be really cool. I like that idea a lot. Again, who knows what this game's going to be? We have flying cars. We saw that in the trailer.
Yep.
And so that gives you some sense of up and down as well. And so, yeah, there's going to be places that are probably only accessible if you have a flying vehicle, because you can only get there by docking at, you know, a airborne parking lot or whatever, right. You know. That's fascinating. That game's good. That's the thing I'm walking out of E3 most wanting to play, and it's a long way away.
We've got a ton of other stuff to talk about. But before we move on, I just want to bring up the point that we've talked about, what, 3, 4, 5 games so far? I think all of them for us are probably purchases. And that is what I take out of this E3. There's a ton of games, more games now than in a long time, where I look at it and I go, I gotta have that.
Yes. But they're far away.
Yes.
You know, like, we have release dates for 2 of these games that we're going to talk about. We know Fallout 76 is coming in November, and then I'll throw in Spider-Man really quick, which is coming in September. We know when those games are coming. They're coming this year. Outside of that, we haven't really talked about Anthem. We know that's coming. Days Gone, we know it's coming in February. Both of those, Metro and whatever else. There was another game. There's 4 games that are coming out on that date, on February 22nd next year. I'm trying to think of what else I know of a release date for, of games I want to play. I want to play Assassin's Creed or Odyssey. I don't know when that's coming. We have the other Sony games, so Ghost of Tsushima, which I think is a next-gen game.
They don't have a date.
Yeah, no. Not even close. Death Stranding, which I think is a next-gen game. They don't have a date on that. The Last of Us 2, I would anticipate we get next year. That's my guess. Maybe not. But
right.
I think that's going to be the swan song of the PS4. I've mentioned this in a couple of videos or show. I don't even know where we're at this point. I think that'll be one of the last games on the PS4, like The Last of Us was one of the last games on the PS3. But could be wrong. Yeah, who knows? You know, but I think that's next year at the earliest. These games are a long ways off. And that's
kind of a
bummer for this E3. As fantastic as the software we saw, Beyond Good and Evil 2. That might be 2023 or something, you know? Like, that's forever off.
And that's been on the radar since, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that first teaser was at least 5 years ago, I think, Jade and PJ, and Jade and PJ are back, so that's cool. Full circle, they look a whole lot different than they did in that little teaser we saw. But all that to say is this was an E3 of the future. This was not an E3 of what you're getting this year, you know, with a couple of exceptions. Fallout 76 was a big announcement, kind of a shock, and then having it in November, that's a big deal. But you know what's not winning Game of E3, Game of Show Awards from any publication? Fallout 76.
You're right.
Cyberpunk 2077 is. The Last of Us 2 is. I've seen Anthem is. I haven't seen anybody that says Fallout 76 is Game of Show. And it's coming out this year. You know, like, it's a weird E3 in that way that we don't have new hardware, but I think we're looking at a lot of games that are going to be on new hardware.
Okay, so that being the case, and this show's going a different place than I thought it would go. But that being the case, what do you feel like? Because what you said is absolutely true. A lot of this stuff is future stuff. Last year was huge in gaming. Lots of huge games. Year before that was huge. A big chunk of my library that I haven't played yet is from the last 2 years. And that's why all the guys on the round table and everywhere else make fun of me for playing old games, because I got so much crap to play.
Yeah.
This year coming up is not going to be that way.
This year we're in right now, or 2019?
I'm talking like 2019 is going to be that way, but we're going to be a ways into 2019 before it gets that way.
The game that I don't know when it's coming, that I think is kind of the catalyst, or the turning point on 2018 versus 2019, is Red Dead 2. We didn't see any of it either.
No, they didn't even say anything.
Nope, it wasn't there at all. And again, maybe not atypical for Rockstar, but a little strange that a game that's that anticipated just doesn't have any presence whatsoever at E3.
Right.
If that game lands this year, that elevates 2018. If it doesn't, and if we get Red Dead 2 and The Last of Us 2 in 2019's, I would say, at that point, a pretty good year. 2018 right now is kind of turning out to be, not bad, not great.
Yeah.
Last year was great. Last year we had Zelda, and we had Horizon, and we had, last year was solid. This year is going to be okay.
I feel like this year is a catch-up year.
We have God of War. That's a big game this year. And so it's not for naught. I think you're right. I think we've had a couple of really solid... Yeah, we're in the, twilight of the console cycle. And so we're not quite at the end. And there's going to be that last hurrah that comes. We're in that kind of weird place before the end.
Right.
There's just kind of this lull, it feels like, right now, where people are looking forward to what comes next. While at the same time kind of wanting to go out with a bang and.
Okay, so since we're thinking that way, since we're talking about new hardware, I don't know about you, but I have no desire to buy new hardware. Like, these games are going to have to be really good to sell me on PlayStation 5. Or the new Xbox, whatever that thing is. I think my desire to buy hardware is waning. Because we still don't have an Xbox One. Okay? We don't have a compelling reason to buy an Xbox One. We both have PlayStations. But my most compelling reason for having a PlayStation at this point is a Blu-ray drive. Like, I love the fact that I have my PlayStation, but I can't play on it.
Sure.
If it didn't have a Blu-ray drive in it, I don't know that I would have it, other than for this show.
This is what I would say to that. We've been doing this show, we started this show in 2005, and so when we started doing this show, the current generation was the Xbox and the PlayStation 2.
Right
at the end of that generation. So when we started doing the show, the very first show we did, we were talking about the Nintendo Revolution.
Right.
So it's back in the
day.
Man,
that was a good show. We were pumped.
A month or so into the show that we went to GameStop and demoed an Xbox 360.
Yep.
And so that's when we started this show. And so the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 cycle, that transition from the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox to Xbox 360 happened at the beginning of the show. And then obviously we went from PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, Xbox 360 to Xbox One a few years ago. And now we're about to hit another cycles. I say all that to say, both previous times we've said the same thing, that I don't feel compelled to do new hardware. And specifically, the last time we had this shift from PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360 to Xbox One, we said the games that we have look great, and we're not harnessing all the power of these consoles yet. I don't have a compelling reason to buy a new console. And we didn't buy new hardware until they gave us a game that we had to play, right? And so as soon as we get that game that we have to play, okay, you got us. We're going to go buy new hardware. And sure enough, we did. And so Nintendo did that on launch day with Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah.
Like, we had to get a Switch as quickly as possible because we had to play Breath of the Wild. They gave us that game right on the front end. And so the trick is, is Halo Infinite a launch title with the Xbox whatever? Scarlet is.
Pick any of those Sony games.
But I don't know. Is Death Stranding a console seller? Is Ghost of Tsushima a console seller? I don't know that I'm buying a PlayStation 5 for one of those titles. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to play
a good point.
Them, but it's not. Neither one of them is proven.
The only one out of that group, if it's not a swan song, it's The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
If it is a swan song, then what else they got?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the key. I don't know. And then maybe, like, Death Stranding turns out to be one of the best video games of all time, and we have to go buy... We bought the PlayStation 3 for Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yes.
You know, so we did buy hardware for a Kojima game once upon a time.
And I didn't
But it was Metal Gear... No, I didn't either. But it was Metal Gear Solid, and we knew what we were getting. Death Stranding, I have no clue. It could be a terrible game.
We're getting Norman Reedus, baby!
Yeah, which is... A thing all into itself. If you want more on that, go by the Patreon, because we talked about Norman Reedus quite a bit on that video. So, yeah, I mean, you got to give me that compelling reason for your hardware. And then, honestly, it's whoever has the compelling reason first, probably. I don't know. I love Sony first-party stuff so much.
I do, too.
I have a hard time imagining that I wouldn't own a PlayStation 5
because it drives me crazy. Because people... think that we're Sony homers. We're not. We want Microsoft to have good stuff. Give us a reason to buy a 1X. We don't have it yet. Yeah. We still don't have it.
Yeah. That it's better stuff. It just the compelling things are on PC.
Yeah.
You know? And that's fine. I think Microsoft's okay with that. That, like, it so gives me a reason to be purchasing a PC with a Windows operating system or whatever, you know, like,
well,
they're still seeing money off
and,
of that.
And we got to wrap this up, but the other thing you got to think about, and this is what we tell people in the shop that come in to have their computers worked on or buy new computers, Microsoft says that Windows 10 is the last operating system. And they're just going to do creators updates from now until the end of eternity. I don't believe that. I don't think you can do that and get away with it. As much as it seems that way, Apple doesn't do that. Every time they update their operating system, it looks the same, it acts the same, but they have major feature updates. And so... I think a lot depends on that, is how long does Windows 10 go?
Yeah.
Does SteamOS become a thing?
Right. For gamers as an outlet, does Windows kind of go away as the operating system that you have to be working on and it becomes a lot more flexible?
Right.
Possibly. I don't think that's in the near future.
I mean,
but, honestly, what... reasons do people own PCs other than gaming or video work? People don't own PCs
That's
anymore.
It.
You know, like a PC
they
used to
tablets
be exactly.
And
PC
phones.
Used to be a staple in your house. Like everybody had a PC because that's how you got on the internet. That's how you now if you're doing email and Facebook and Twitter and text and whatever, all that's a lot of it's easier to do on your phone or a tablet than as a PC. And so the reason you own a PC at this point is for gaming or is for professional purposes.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think Microsoft, just by being there, kind of has some leverage, you know, like just the
right.
fact that they're existing at this point.
Yeah.
It just, it makes it hard to compete other than like a Steam OS or something that was so specific. But if it lacks the flexibility to do some other stuff, I don't know. It's an interesting question. But as long as there's still PC versions of a lot of this stuff, I think... we're still just going to play a lot of it on PC and then have a PlayStation as our console. And then whatever Nintendo does, of course, because they're so different and we have to have Mario and Zelda and that stuff. So they'll own us.
To wrap this up, and we got to wrap this up because we're getting texts from the other room going, what is going on? I can't even read the text, but I'm pretty sure that's what they say.
Pretty close.
So we gotta wrap this up.
Okay, say one thing real quick before you do that. I'm uploading Patreon content right now, and my favorite thing is that the thumbnail that it picked out from our Last of Us 2 video is Ellie jabbing the chick in the throat with the knife.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Great stuff.
I just have to say that despite what you heard over the last hour and. However long this was, this has been a really good E3.
Yes.
And it has gotten both of us to the point, and we've said it over and over and over again, but we're like, I mean, I'm sitting here at the end of E3. I have to go home tomorrow, which I don't want to do. The only reason I'm going home tomorrow is because I can't get a room for tomorrow night. We've gotten to the point because of this E3 that all we want to do is more of this. And the reason we want to do more of this is because the stuff that we're getting, whether it's 6 months from now or 3 years from now, is so good that we would literally chuck everything else and just do this. Like, if we could have your daughter and a compelling reason to do this all the time, that's it. That's all we need. That's it.
Yep.
And that's a great place to be.
Yeah. I 100% agree. As much as, like, I'm bummed that so much good stuff out of E3 is so far away, it's so good, and I want them to get it right. I'm going to wait for it. And I've got a backlog of games to play.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm waiting that I'm just going to be like, oh, I can't game until Cyberpunk 2077. I've got plenty of stuff to play.
We have more stuff to play than we'll ever play.
So I'm kind of, like, I feel really good about the fact that, like, I'm just not getting bombarded with really good games. I've been in my head just the past couple of days making a mental list of what I need to play, because we need to finish God of War, we need to finish Horizon, for crying out loud. I've got Detroit Become Human in the other room. We've got...
Oh, it's here?
It's here.
Holy cow!
I know, we're not even going to get to it. We got Octopath Traveler that we're pumped about. We've got... There was something else, Wolfenstein, that I've been wanting to play forever.
Is that what's downloading right there?
No, I have no clue what's downloading right there. So, okay. Update for something. The Long Dark update.
Oh!
The Long Dark, which is fan-freaking-tastic, has, like, new story content that I haven't played yet. I need to get back to that. My stupid Steam library of whatever. I have all these games that are just ones I need to play. It's just stupid how many games I have. So the fact that they're not like dumping 15 great games on me this holiday season is kind of nice. Yeah. You know, like I'm going to be able to catch up a little bit.
Don't say that too loud.
I know.
It is.
But
it's kind of nice.
I feel good. I want Cyberpunk 2077 right now, honestly, but I'll wait for it to be good and play a bunch of stuff until then.
Absolutely.
So, E3 is awesome. We love it.
Yes. Let's do it again next
let's
year.
Let's do it again.
Or, hey, if I can get a hotel room, let's do it like 2 weeks from now.
There you go.
So, send us money, find us a hotel manager somewhere, because I'll come back in like a week if we can get it put together, because this is fun.
It is a good time.
And to be totally honest, this is a really good time, but your daughter is, like, way cool. I'm totally obsessed with what she's doing in there. Like, there's stuff happening.
Yeah,
like,
that is fantastic.
I leave the house, and I come back, and stuff happens. And it's like way cool. We're having a blast. So if you want us to do more of that, we told you what needs to happen. Help us make it happen, because we'll give you more than you know what to do with.
Yes, that is 100% true.
All of that being said, we got to get out of here before somebody beats down our door, and they could do that.
Yeah.
So you know where to find us. Go by the Patreon. Go by the Facebook page. Go by the Twitter, even though our tweets suck.
The Sexy Sidekick has just been trolling me about Twitter this whole week. So, yeah.
I think next week you should let her take over. Just hand her the phone and go here.
Right.
And see what happens. But go by there. Check that out. What else? What am I missing?
Voicemail line at...
509 getting too thin. New services. Say that again.
What?
New services.
New services. TuneIn Radio, Spotify. If you're listening to us now, you found us somewhere. But if you found us on one of these new places, email us, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, and let us know, because we'd love to know if you like just stumbled upon us on like TuneIn. It was like gaming app, cool, or gaming podcast.
And write a freaking review.
Please. Yes.
Somebody write a freaking review.
Get us some reviews. We need some more. Our reviews are just about everywhere pretty good, which we appreciate. Thank you. Give us some more everywhere. Yeah. We need more reviews everywhere, and especially on these new services where we just started. We definitely need some reviews there. So, yeah.
I'm tell so people happy. We're cool. I'm so happy. It's all good.
One more time, just the Patreon content. There's a ton of it. Some of it you're probably going to hate, and that's okay. Don't watch it. The audio on some of the Labo stuff is really bad. We apologize for that. We had a good time.
But the commentary in the background is really good.
Yes, there is some gold humor in all of those videos. And so, and you know, there's something for you there. And so if you like what we do and want some more content, want to see our ugly mugs, you got a way to do that. There's a ton of video content.
Ugly, but hey, we got a green screen to cover it up. Right? So.
It looks kind of cool. Yeah. We had fun playing with tech. So yes, this is the best time of year to sign up for the Patreon. So gamingcensored.com, Patreon right there. Or just go to patreon.com and search Gaming Uncensored. You can find us easy enough. There is a little bit of content on there for free. So if you want a little teaser of what we do, what you're going to get behind the paywall.
And I will say this. If you want, if enough of you come to us and say, we don't know, we want to pay for it, we need a sample, we might be willing to give you a sample. Because we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And we can adjust some of that. So,
yeah. Like I said, it's there right now. You can I put the Ubisoft Second Take is for free on Patreon right now.
Awesome.
Which is wonderfully That's entertaining. Good. If nothing else, just go by Patreon to watch that video because it's entertaining.
That is good. Because
we did
stuff.
10 minutes of Ubisoft that was awesome and lost it all. And, so,
and we were sober even.
Yeah, we were so pissed.
Which that's
so sad. We made a good time out of it and did a second video. That's entertaining. So go by Patreon to get a taste of that. And then, yeah, there's more if you decide to contribute. Whatever you contribute, you're going to get access to all the content that we did this week. So.
Absolutely. And all of that being said, we got to go. So you have been listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It's E4. It's the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza. And it's only on GamingUncensored.com. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.